Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Talking with Heroes talk show program. I am Bob Calvert, the founder and your host for this program. For those of you who are listening for the first time, to find out about some of our just about 10-year history, go to TalkingWithHeroes, heroes.com/about. It'll talk a little bit about the many trips we made to Iraq and Afghanistan over 6 years, what we're doing to help the R4Alliance.org with all the military support groups and recreational therapy. We also have a news site, which is updated daily. It's thankyouforyourservice.us. And for over a year now, we have been doing weekly audio programs. For about 7 months, we've been doing audio programs with soldiers from the Schofield Barracks, 3rd VCT, 25th Infantry Division. And that included while they were involved in different countries in the Pacific with Pacific Pathways. So you might want to check that out on our news site, thankyouforyourservice.us, and an article in the left column. Also, for about a year now, actually about 13 months, we've been doing weekly audio programs for members of an alliance of military support and veterans groups. It's www.4alliance.org. They now have over 62 member organizations, many strategic partners. It's growing fast. Starbucks just came on board recently nationwide. We just finished up 4 weeks ago their 2015 national conference, and we did 25 video interviews at the conference with leaders of all these different organizations. It was absolutely amazing. And you can watch those videos on our YouTube page. That's youtube.com/bubc9246. But on these interviews we've been doing, the audio programs like we're doing tonight, if you missed any of them, if you'd like to learn about more of these organizations, go back to our news site, thankyouforyourservice.us. Again, the left column, you'll see an article about the it says 45-plus R4 Alliance members, and you can go through each one of them. There's a link by each member to click and listen. And this program we're doing tonight will be in there as well. So on this program, it's an honor to talk with retired Major General Paul E. Mock. He's also, besides retired military, he's retired from the Los Angeles Police Department after 25 years of service. And he is now a senior consultant, military relations for the Military Child Education Coalition and national chair of employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR. So what I'd like to do is welcome Paul. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, I want to first thank you for your service to our country, both in the military and in law enforcement. Thank you for your service. And thank you for being on the program tonight.
Well, Bob, I'm honored to be invited, so it's my pleasure. Thank you for your service and everything you're doing to support our men and women in uniform and veterans and the military families.
Absolutely. Well, it's an honor to do it. I have a lot of people in my family that are in the military, were my daughter, one of them. Son-in-law, my brother, still in the military. Dad was in World War II, so I guess we all serve in a little different ways, maybe. This is my way. But if you don't mind, if you could start out and tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, maybe how long you served in the military, and just a little bit about your military and police career.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Yeah, as you mentioned, my civilian career was the Los Angeles Police Department, and I retired way back in 1998. I can't even believe that now, how time flies. But during that whole time, I was a member of the reserve components, both in the National Guard for a short stint, and then the bulk of my service was with the Army Reserves, mostly with California units. But that experience caused me to go to many places in the world, meet a lot of great people, and it was just a wonderful experience. Many of those people that I met and served with, I still have great contacts with now. I started out as an infantry officer and then morphed over to the special forces side and then a little psychological operations. and then became a logistician in my later years, which led to a deployment to Kuwait, supporting Iraq and that region of the world in 2004, 2005. A lot of time in Korea. Got to go to Japan several times, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience.
So were you doing the reserve and being a policeman kind of simultaneously?
Yeah, I was. And what that really blends in with what I'm doing now as the National Chair for Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve. I found in most of our current serving members of the Guard and Reserve, when I talk about Guard and Reserve, I'm talking about all the components to include the Coast Guard. And so you've got Air Guard, Army Guard, Air Force Reserve, Navy Reserve, Marine Corps Reserve. And so it works out so that we've got seven components within the reserve components. But what ESGR does is it works with employers primarily to make sure that they understand the rules and regulations pertaining to uniform service while being an employee, and for the employers, you know, what their responsibilities are so that they don't run afoul of any of the Uniform Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act. And it was just a great fit. And I found my service with the Los Angeles Police Department just to be very, very compatible, supervisors. And as an employer, the LAPD and the city of LA just couldn't be better. Our goal in ESGR is to make sure that all serving members of the Guard and Reserve have a similar type of experience with their employers.
So I remember last year I read an article on our news site about ESGR about the Freedom Award nominations. You're involved in that again this year, right?
I am each year. Yeah, and the Freedom Award, there's a number of awards that we participate in. ESGR has, if I can give a little background first, but really we have a number of services that we provide. Is we advocate relevant initiatives on behalf of the employer, service members, and their families. And we promote the importance of employer support through regular communications to the military leadership and serve as a communications link between employers and the Department of Defense. We're the only office or agency within the Department of Defense that advocates for employers. We recognize the employers who practice, you know, really the best personnel policies that support our men and women in uniform who are members of the Guard and Reserve. And we inform and educate members within the Guard and Reserve about what their responsibilities are with regards to their employers to make sure that they provide proper notification, because we really don't want the conflicts or the friction points between employers and members of the Guard and Reserve, whether it's going off to a drill weekend, whether it's going off to training, or, you know, long training periods for MOS schools, for example, or even through deployments, which, you know, early on we had some units and members that were deployed as long as 2 years, involuntarily. And yep. We want the employer to welcome them back, and we want the employers to recognize the value of members of the Guard and Reserve and the importance of having, you know, a career that's lasting, a career that's waiting for them on return for their service. And we also mediate those issues between employers and the serving members of the Guard and Reserve who, you know, are employees, so that we can, in a non-adversarial way, resolve those conflict points if they may arise between the employer and the employees. And the recognition part is where we get into a number of different programs and awards that we have that we recognize employers. And it starts out with very simple Patriot Award, which is a simple online application, and the employer receives a nice frame certificate, and most employers are very, very happy to see that and are very proud that their employee took the time to recognize them. As you get up to the Freedom Award. That's the Secretary of Defense Employer Support Freedom Award. That is our highest level of award. And that particular award is, well, last year it was presented in the Pentagon to the 15 top employers that, you know, showed that their personnel policies, their practices, their support for the families, their reintegration plans, and everything they do above and beyond what the law requires are, you know, among the very best in the nation. And like I said, last year, the Secretary of Defense, Hagel, presented it. This year, DEPSEC, the Deputy Secretary of Defense, Mr. Work, presented the award. And in the past, we've even had a visit into the White House to meet the president in the Oval Office. So it's a very prestigious award. It just couldn't be any better. And our employers that receive that award take great pride in that. And that's what we want. We want to create that environment so that the employers, and I said this already, recognize the value of our service members and what they bring to the workplace. And they're just proud to do the right thing. And that's employing members of our Guard and Reserve and veterans as well.
So are you in the process right now with the Freedom Awards and nominating exceptional employers?
We are. It's an annual cycle. The current cycle process is members of the Guard and Reserve can nominate their employers for this award. And the current window of opportunity ends at the end of December. And the process, if I can explain it real quickly, is that because we want to encourage serving members of the Guard and Reserve and or even spouses for that matter to nominate their employers so that they get the kind of recognition that they deserve. And they go online, www.freedomaward.mil, M-I-L. And there's a real simple online process that they fill out an application. It's designed to take anywhere from 8 to 15 minutes to fill it out. They submit that, and then they'll be contacted by, you know, one of the staff members who will work with them from their state of residence and or state of employment and help them fill that form out. We confer with the employer to make sure that we got all the facts right. And it goes through a vetting process, a number of committees, until we boil it down to the top 30, and that top 30 ends up in a national review board that I sit on in the Pentagon. And that'll happen later this spring. And we finalize and get back down to the 15 top employers, and the award ceremony is typically in August. It's a great process. It's easy to do, and the rewards for the employers are just outstanding.
So I imagine you have a big presentation and all that, right?
Actually, you're referring to the award ceremony? The award ceremony, as I said, we moved it from the Reagan building 2 years ago into the Pentagon because the feeling was, well, one, it's much more economical to do it there. And the other reason is we found that the employers rarely have the opportunity to be in the Pentagon. And so bringing that event into a venue like the Pentagon where they can actually get a tour of the Pentagon, they can see what goes on in the Pentagon and actually meet many of the senior leaders, both civilian and military, in the Pentagon, and then go through the actual awards ceremony is just a phenomenal event. And we get so much positive feedback from the employers and the nominating service members that it's just a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for many of them.
So are media allowed to film or do interviews? I'm just curious because, you know, I wouldn't mind being there, having one of my teams put together a team.
Well, we do have media representation, and that is all handled through the Pentagon protocol and media group. And we can connect you with the right people so that you can become familiar with how that process works. To be honest with
sure.
you, I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but the Pentagon puts together a very, very nice online photo display that the public. There's nothing classified about it. We want people to look at it. And they can view and they can see all the photos and the names of all the recipients are there. We want as much exposure to that as we possibly can get. So that's why I appreciate coming on the air so much with you today, is just to help get the word out. You know, typically, Bob, we get over 2,900 nominations each year.
Wow.
And when you think about it, that's a lot. And so, as I said, there's a vetting process, a review process that starts at the state, and it goes regionally and then percolates up to the national level. And there's a couple of different cut lines that we go through it. But by the time it gets to the top 30, having sat on two of those national review boards, it's, you know, there's so many great employers out there. It's really a challenge to pick who did a little bit better or more than the other companies. And the companies, organizations, I should say, that are nominated are small business. That's less than 500 employees. Then our large businesses or corporations, and these are in the private sector, are over 500. And then we go to public service, and those include your cities, fire departments. You know, we had the U.S. Marshals in there within the last 2 years. You know, your first responders. And so we get a great, great sampling through the nomination process of a lot of employers, whether they be public sector or private, that just do so much and really want to hire and maintain that employment of our Guard and Reserve members.
Yeah, I've noticed that quite a few people, men and women that have been in the military, are serving in other capacity, like you, first responder. Is that true for a lot of guardsmen? Okay.
There are, and I'll give you a couple of examples, if I may, about one of our last year's Freedom Award. We just call it Freedom Award for brevity. Recipient was the Boise Fire Department. Now, Boise, Idaho, we're all familiar with Boise, Idaho. It's Idaho's capital, and they have a population within the city of about 250,000 residents, but they employ 300 full-time union and city employees, and 30% of their employers are members of the National Guard, Reserve, or veterans. And you think about that number, you know, many organizations or corporations that we visit, you'll ask them, you know, how many veterans, how many members of the Guard and Reserve do you employ? And typically, even if they're doing all the right stuff, you know, the number is not that high. So Boise Fire Department is really a standout as far as the numbers that they employ, their support of members of the Guard and Reserve when they are called to active duty or go off to active duty for training type events. And the chief of the fire chief there, Chief Dennis Doan, he told me that, you know, we are so supportive that we carried an employee for 8 years and paid his full salary during that period of absence. And that particular employee, if I remember right, was a member of the Marine Corps Reserves. But to grant him that absence for that period of time, to pay his salary while he's gone, his city salary, all the benefits, visiting with the family and supporting that family, and then when he comes back from deployments and active duty service, they welcome him back with open arms. That is truly above and beyond. You can imagine the loyalty that the employees who are serving members of the Guard and Reserve have towards their fire department and their city. It's just an incredible story. One of the other organizations that was one of the Freedom Award recipients this past year was CVS Health. And to contrast CVS Health with the one I'll tell you about next, really gets at the diversity and the kinds of companies in the private sector that are nominated. CVS has more than 200,000 employees. And it's a pharmacy innovation company, helping people on their path to better health. That's what their mantra is. They have 7,800 retail pharmacies and more than 900 walk-in medical clinics and 65 million plan members in their CVS health plan. And, you know, I ask their one of their senior VPs, vice presidents, who was there in the Pentagon during the last ceremony, you know, if we put your employees on a schedule of like 5-year rotations, and that's part of the operational reserve, and trying, that's one of the aspects of it, trying to make it more predictable for the employers, is if we got them on a 5-year cycle, for example, where it, once in 5 years, whether they're deployed or not, the employer would know, or, you know, absent an absolute catastrophic national emergency, of course, but would have an expectation that that employee would go during a certain window of time. And, you know, the response was, yeah, that'd be helpful, but we do whatever we need to support our employees and our military. In other words, yeah, that'd be great. If you can do that, wonderful. It helps us with our planning. But if they need to go, we're standing by them, and we're going to support them. You know, what more can you ask of employers than that kind of support? There's one more I'll just talk about real quick because it really shows the contract between CVS. And this is a doctor named Joe Jackson in Biloxi, Mississippi. And he's been in practice over 25 years, and he was at the ceremony and just having the time of his life. But he's a board certified in neurology and psychiatry, as well as sleep medicine. He has 4 employees. That's it, 4. And one of them is serving in the reserve components in Mississippi. And this particular employee, who's a member of, I don't remember now if it was Mississippi Guard or the Army Reserve down there, but his house burned down. You know, it was an accidental fire and lost his house. Within a day, that particular employer, Dr. Jackson, had that employee into a house. So that family was not without shelter, food, a television, and everything goes with it, you know, for more than a day. And Dr. Jackson, when I talked to him, he just is another one that just says, he's supportive regardless of the notice provided. I'll do whatever I need to do to support the men and women in uniform because they make such great employees. Again, what more can you ask for? That is the kind of employer that we want because, as you know, our nation's military is comprised of all volunteers. So back in 1972, some great minds got together and figured out that if we're going to make the volunteer force work, and the reserve components are going to be a big part of it, and they're about 50% of the total force, we need to make sure that they're protected, that the employers are supported with education and recognition about what they do that's right, and if they have a conflict, there's somebody there to mediate. We're not running to Department of Justice trying to prosecute them in some matter. You know, just a very non-threatening mediation process. And we want the military members to understand what their obligations are as well. And so this whole program was designed, program being ESGR, back in 1972 as a part of the all-volunteer force. It's a great support piece, great piece of the support structure that makes this work. And as we've moved out of the strategic reserve, where we, like many, myself included, you know, we trained for years and decades for the Third World War that would evolve out of conflicts in Eastern Europe. We've moved into something totally different, and the reserve components have become much more operational. And that operational aspect of it is they can be called at any time. They need to be ready on a much shorter lead time than what we expected them to be or budgeted them to be in response to a strategic reserve. And so this all plays into that very nicely in the level of support that we get out of our employers across across the nation seems to be really, really paying off.
Well, I appreciate you sharing all that, sir. I look forward to following this in 2016. If there's anything more I can do, maybe leading up to the event or even after, you know, once you've chosen the 15 top.
You can, Bob, you can keep talking about it from now until, you know, the end of December. And like I said, is there's always employers that are not familiar with these kinds of programs. We mm-hmm. always have, despite our best efforts, people are people. Some members of the Guard and Reserve that aren't that familiar or don't recognize the importance of it. And so anything you can do to talk this program up is greatly appreciated. And ESGR, I don't know how familiar you are with what we do, but we have 54 committees that, you know, there's states and the territories and the District of Columbia, and we have about 4,600-plus volunteers, and they're highly motivated, they're dedicated, they're connected in their communities, and we've reached out and accumulated more than 50,000, this is last year, statements of support from employers. Now, this is not a binding legal agreement, but what it is, it says that employer, and we have, you know, do them at the state level or the national level, and in some cases for Fortune 500 type companies. But it's an affirmation of their support to supporting the Guard, Reserve veterans, and military families, and that's great. I mean, it's just a wonderful outreach program that we have, and it's so well received by the employers. It's nothing that we have to force on anybody. They're ready, willing, and able to participate in that.
Well, this is great. I appreciate all the information, and sure, we'll keep promoting this interview you've done here on our social media. And so why don't you give your website address again, and maybe something on social media, how people can find you there.
Sure. To nominate for the Freedom Award, it's www.freedomaward.mil. And if they scroll across the links, they can see who the recipients have been, current and ones in the past. And there's a link to nominate your employer. You click on that, and it's just to fill in the blanks. And I would ask that if an employee is a member of the Guard Reserve, doesn't know something, get as much in there and submit it, and one of the staff members out of the state committees will help them. The other link that I would ask that they go to is www.esgr.mil, and that gives information about all our programs, information about employers, our volunteers, how you join the program, a full spread of what our employer awards are. And we've got Patriot Award, Spouse Patriot Award, Seven Seals Award, Above and Beyond, Pro Patria, that's kind of the highest that they can award at the state, Extraordinary Employer Support, and then, of course, we get up to the Secretary of Defense Employer Support Freedom Award. These programs and awards are designed, like I said, is to recognize the great work and great support that our employers provide to members of the Guard and Reserve. And you know what? We don't sell anything. You know, we don't get commissions. This is all out of this is God's work by many of our volunteers, because they're just so passionate about it. And it's just a love of what they do. And we got the vast majority of our organization, as I said, we're our volunteers. We got a small staff, I mean, relatively small staff that hangs their hat back in the Pentagon and D.C. area. And each state has, you know, just a handful of paid staff that help the program go. So it's all good. I mean, there's nothing anybody should back away from this program. It's all about maintaining the readiness of our reserve components. So when that time comes, we have ready members, ready units, and ready military families.
Great. So I just connected with you on Twitter. So it's ESGR, hashtag ESGR on Twitter, too.
Yeah, there's a number of links there. We're on LinkedIn, and I can send you some of that stuff. You and I talked about communicating on email after that. I can send you some
okay.
of the contact points. And also, I would just say, since you haven't thrown me off yet, if any of the listeners out there who are members of the Guard and Reserve or employers have issues about reemployment rights or understanding what they need to do to make their relationship with their employer, or in case of an employer with their service member who's an employee better, there's a toll-free number that they can call, and that's 800-336-4590. And, again, you can get that right off the website as well. But there's a number of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And I would just encourage everybody to be a part of this. That's great.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely email me all those, and I can add them onto the talk show page.
Good.
You're
I'd be happy
today.
To do that.
Okay, great. I'll watch
I'd
for
be
that.
Happy to do that.
And I'll email you after we re-promote your program. Be a little later tonight,
great.
I'll start re-promoting it. Well, thank you very much.
Great.
I appreciate it. I always like to end programs with asking people to give a shout-out to our troops around the world. Would you like to do that?
Well, I would like to love to do that. You know, to all the men and women, wherever, if they're deployed or in training status or in garrison, wherever you are, you know, thank you for your service, and God bless all of you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Paul. I appreciate it. I look forward to talking with you more in 2016, too.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Bob.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Have a good Thanksgiving. Well, folks,
that's
you've been
me.
Listening again on TalkingWithHeroes.com. We've been talking with Paul E. Mock, retired Major General, National Chair Employer Support of the Guard and Reserves, www.esgr.mil and freedomaward.mil. So I appreciate you listening. As I've always asked people to do at the end of our programs, we post on all of our social media pages about each program, two Facebook pages, LinkedIn, Google+, Pinterest, and Twitter. And so if you're on any of those, you can connect with us and share the post about these shows. We'd really appreciate it. Word of mouth is really helping a lot. My YouTube page is well over 300,000 now. It's all word of mouth. And so appreciate you listening tonight. And before we end the program, I also want to give a shout-out to all of our veterans and your families. Thank you for your service to our country. To all active duty military and your families, thank you for your service. To all of our first responders and your families, thank you for your service. And to all of our men and women who might be somewhere around the world in harm's way, we look forward to you coming home real soon. Be safe, stay alert. God bless you all, and God bless America.